Time to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome. She brings us the Vatican Week in review. Joan, welcome back. Very exciting week.
Oh my gosh, exciting, historical, monumentally emotional. The last 2 days of this week, the Pope's final general audience with 150,000 people in St. Peter's Square, and then obviously his last morning in the Vatican Thursday with meeting with the cardinals, 144. And I heard somebody say that the number of cardinals present, 144, equals the apostolic number squared. Don't you love it? 12 apostles, 12 times 12. I think that's amazing.
Among whom there might have been the new pope.
And the Holy Father did say that in his words to the cardinals. And then something that none of us will ever forget is the Pope getting into the helicopter at the Vatican City here and traveling with a plane following him with the camera, traveling to Castel Gandolfo, being greeted by the people and speaking a very few heartfelt words, totally, totally off the cuff.
Which ended with good night,
which ended with grazie, thank you, and buonanotte. It was poignant, moving, a very historic moment, very historic days. And as you and I are sitting here in studio, we do not have a Holy Father. We can refer to him in talking about his remarks of the past few days. We can call him Pope Benedict if we wish, because he was until 8 o'clock on Thursday night. And then that very simple but moving ceremony Thursday at Castel Gandolfo, closing of the doors at 8 o'clock. So the doors are closed. The symbolism of that was humongous, too. And you saw from the internal courtyard at Castel Gandolfo the changing of the guard, literally, the Swiss guards closing the door, then coming and passing the command on to the Vatican gendarmes, and then the gendarmes walking towards the inner part of the door while the faithful and the cameras, obviously, the media from around the world, that was extraordinary, out in the square. And while the images were focusing on the main door of the palace, and the palace was built in the 1600s, many, many popes resided there. I think Pope Urban VIII was the first to actually reside there. Part of the building was created by Carlo Maderno. In 1603, he did the facade of Santa Susanna's church in Rome, which is my American parish in Rome. And then the architects of the new St. Peter's, the one we know today, they so loved Maderno's work on Santa Susanna's facade, they asked him to design the facade of St. Peter's Basilica. And he was called by the popes to help design part of the Apostolic Palace at Castel Gandolfo. So we have a very famous architect involved in that. And just as an aside for a few seconds, we have Bernini. We think of him and we think of the colonnades at St. Peter's, obviously. Bernini helped design part of the very beautiful formal gardens at Castel Gandolfo. This will be the Pope Emeritus's home for about 2 months until he moves into Vatican City in a monastery currently being renovated. Castel Gandolfo is a place that he loves. He spent months there in the summer, sometimes instead of even going up to the mountains of northern Italy. Benedict XVI would spend July, August, and September in Castel Gandolfo. I'm sure you know the building and the gardens, too. It's smaller than Vatican City here. It's much more intimate. Actually, it's bigger in territory. It's 55 hectares as opposed to 44 hectares of Vatican City. And I think we're talking in acres. Vatican City here in Rome, 108.7 and 136 or something at Castel Gandolfo.
There's a farm, too.
There's a wonderful farm, and they have their own
milk from the cows.
Milk and eggs and yogurt and everything else. But going back to Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, while this was happening, they were closing the main doors, and the Pope was stepping down, so to speak. We, in Rome, we couldn't see it, but they simple seals were placed on the papal apartment in the Apostolic Palace in Rome and on the elevator leading to the apartment. This was done at 8 o'clock, and this is, of course, one of the first signs here of the sede vacante, the vacant see. Cardinals are gathering. We saw 144 yesterday. other cardinal electors who were not in Rome for that meeting with the Holy Father are arriving as we speak. And Friday, March 1st, Cardinal Sodano, the dean of the College of Cardinals, who will be kind of the public face of the church in these days and perhaps weeks to come. Cardinal Sodano, March 1st, sent a letter notifying, we don't know exactly how it was delivered, a paper letter will be delivered to every archdiocese place where there is a cardinal in the world, but either fax or phone or some way, cardinals are notified on March 1st that the sede vacante is now in place and they can meet for their congregations. It seems it's going to be Monday the 4th of March that they will begin meeting in congregations. And interestingly enough, those meetings include all cardinals, the over 80 and then the under 80 cardinal electors. They will go in, talk about church business, also decide what day the conclave will take place. You have some cardinals who do want a little more time to get to know their confreres better, because one of them will be, as the Pope said in his speech to the cardinals on Thursday, he said that one of you in this room would be the future pope, although there were electors who were not present. But, you know, his final words to the cardinals, I thought, were so extraordinary. And he said, prior to bidding farewell to each of you personally, I want to tell you I will continue to be close to you in prayer, especially in the next few days, so that you may be fully docile to the action of the Holy Spirit in the election of the new pope. May the Lord show you what is willed by him. And among you, among the College of Cardinals, there's also the future pope to whom here today I already promise my unconditional reverence and obedience. Speaking those words as pontiff himself, and he is no longer, as we are speaking, the Roman pontiff, and he has pledged full reverence and obedience to the new pope.
The 265th successor of Peter.
How moving that had to be to the cardinals themselves, that if I was wearing a red hat would have sent a shiver up my spine. He's talking about his successor. Normally, we are marking the death of a pope, the funeral, the novendiales, the masses of mourning, and so forth.
Here the nine days of mourning.
Exactly. We at least have the joy of still having Benedict the 16th Pope Emeritus with us. The next days are going to be filled with mystery and anticipation and wondering. Whatever day they decide for the conclave, it will probably be the day before that they will celebrate the Missa pro Eleggendo Pontefice, the Mass for electing a pope. And Benedict, in his motu proprio this week, he did allow for the possibility of a conclave to take place sooner than the 15 to 20 days after the sede vacante begins. So if the cardinals all go in March 4th, can do their business in 3 days and say they want to start, they can decide to do that before the 15 days. But in general, the mass for electing the pope, only present at that were the cardinal electors. In his motu proprio revealed last Monday, Benedict XVI indicated that it would be fitting for all cardinals, over and under 80, to be at that Mass. So bit by bit, we will learn more about the congregations, what they're doing, what do we need now, the greatness of Benedict's pontificate and so forth. Oh, and interestingly enough, for the first time, as far as I know, in the history of the church, we have a Chinese cardinal going into conclave. Because you had Cardinal Zen. He was named in 2006 by Benedict XVI, but he's now over 80, so he won't go into this conclave. He's Chinese. But we will have Cardinal Tong of Hong Kong. You have to be very careful saying, saying
Cardinal
that name.
John Tong.
Yes, exactly. As I said, amazing historical days, and we've given out just a few figures, like the 144 cardinals present yesterday. But another amazing figure given by Father Lombardi at a press conference, I think it was on Thursday, 3,641 journalists have been accredited just for the conclave part. They are from 61 countries and represent 24 different languages. So
beyond the regulars.
Beyond the beyond the normally accredited persons, yes, indeed. So historic days, interesting numbers. just the ritual of this, where else would you find protocol, the ceremonies that we're having these days for the Pope? The sealing of his chambers. They're not going to break his ring. They're going to disfigure the papal ring because the ring is used as a seal for documents. They want to make the ring so that it may not ever again be used as a seal.
Thank you very much, Joan.
Bless.
And you were listening there to Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome.